Welcome to Growing the Valley. I'm one of your hosts, Phoebe Gordon.
And I'm your other host, Luke Milliron.
We're getting into that time of year across our nut crops in the Central Valley, where we are thinking about how to remove and destroy mummy nuts, or nuts that were left behind after harvest and maybe harboring the devastating pest, navel orangeworm. After a presentation about navel orangeworm to pest control advisors this past July, I sat down with Sacramento Valley UC Cooperative Extension IPM advisor, Dr. Emily Sims, to talk about the value of sanitation and how to take a more strategic approach. Dr. Sims starts by discussing a navel orangeworm population projection she built that demonstrates why removing and destroying mummy nuts should be the base of your management program. As always, you can find the figures and resources we discuss at growingthevalleypodcast.com. Also, if you haven't already, be sure to check out the Ammon Board of California's humorous Mummy Shake music video.
The approach to navel orangeworm, we always say the foundation is sanitation. I showed a slide that's got really great research results data from Brad Higby and Joel Siegel showing the thresholds that we at UC recommend. We're based on this work from Brad Higby and Joel Siegel over a number of years, 2006 to 2012, that really showed, you know, the number of mummies both on the tree and on the ground matter with regard to ultimate crop damage. And we know that, and we've known it for years in the fight against navel orangeworm. So our recommendations in the Sacramento Valley are to try to clean your nuts, clean your trees to an average of two or fewer mummies per tree. And we just kind of say that typically in our extension meetings and move on. You guys sanitize, you know you need to do it, you know it can help with navel orangeworm control and ultimate damage. We say that, but I thought, you know, potentially a more effective approach, especially when growers are necessarily dealing with the financial realities of how easy it is to sanitize, what it's going to cost, is something going to cost $200 to $300 to $400 an acre, does that pay? And I wanted to just really mock up some numbers to say, you know, I think it does. And so what I did is I put together a very simple table that looked at what the overall potential in terms of number of worms in your orchard were if you sanitized to two mummies per tree, if you had an average left of 10 mummies per tree, or if you had an average left of 30 mummies per tree. And, you know, as we start the season, so those are the mummies per tree overwintering. Let's say you had about 2% infestation, or just of one larva each in a nut, which we know isn't the reality. Actually, there's typically more than one. But let's just say 2% infestation, one larva per nut, is what was coming out of your overwintering generation in the spring. The differences between two mummies per tree and 30 mummies per tree is dramatic. An average of 2.5, so 3 females per acre, versus about 37 female NOW per acre. And I focus on the females because they're the ones that ultimately matter. They lay the eggs. They have the fecundity. And then I took that and I extrapolated it out. So what that looked like, we'll just go to third generation, is that if you clean your nuts to two mummies per tree with these, you know, again, back of the napkin kind of mathematic assumptions of a 50-50 sex ratio, a female lays 80 eggs. We also actually incorporated the fact that half the population either dies of natural causes, never emerges, or leaves the orchard. So we're actually taking a 50% quote mortality into each of these calculations. At two mummies per tree, your third generation, you're looking at roughly 80,000 worms per acre. At 30 mummies per tree, now you're up at over 1 million worms. That's a huge number. And as I'm looking at that, if we go in and we spray that and we're able to kill 50% of the population at any given stage, we're still not doing as good as going from 30 mummies per tree to 2 mummies per tree. And in fact, we're not even doing as well at 30 mummies per tree down to 10 mummies per tree. So there's an advantage in cleaning the best you can. So sanitizing up to the best you can. When we get out to fourth generation, we're looking at a difference of over 23 million worms down to 1.5 million worms, the difference between 30 mummies per tree and 2 mummies per tree. And if you look at potentially what the number of nuts per acre you have is, at 75 nuts per tree, 124 trees per acre, those are kind of our assumptions, we're looking at just shy of 1 million nuts per tree. So if you're leaving 30 mummies per tree, the third generation, you've actually got more worms, potential worms, in the environment than you have individual nuts in the environment. And that, to me, maybe paints a scarier picture, whereas when if a PCA goes to a grower and says, I think we need to do this sanitation, or a grower is sitting down and going, man, it's gonna cost me. The other thing that I think that really going through scouting where your high mummy pressure is, so just mummy density alone is very important to do. Cracking out some of those mummies over the winter to get an idea of where your infestation is, or extrapolating based on your harvest samples, your grade sheets, where you had the highest NOW infestation, that might give you a way to say, let's focus our sanitation efforts on these particular blocks or orchards first. Let's get those as clean as possible because we know that they're the heaviest in mummy load and or the heaviest also in potential moth load. So mummies are absolutely important, but the moth count or the infestation rate and the worm potential is very important. And if we're in a situation where the weather is going to preclude us from getting in, let's make sure we sanitize those blocks that are going to contribute the most worms to the environment first and foremost. Spend our money there, get our bang for our buck, then go back to the other blocks that might be a little bit less pressure heavy.
It can be difficult to visualize this when you're not looking at the table, so we'll be sure to post this to growingthevalleypodcast.com. But this really is a great concept, a great simulation, because we often say when it comes to navel orangeworm that if you don't sanitize, you can't spray your way out of this problem. But this really puts some numbers to it. Even if you're having the population by spraying during the season at any given point, just that, you're never gonna go from that 30 mummies per tree down to even the 10 mummies per tree. So very, very dramatic. And just as we were talking about with, a concept like mating disruption, having an integrated approach with your neighbors where you're getting together and you're making sure that you're all sanitizing, you're all being vigilant about getting the mummies out of the tree, can be really critical for this pest that's such a strong flyer.
We know, and as you just said, navel orangeworm is highly mobile between neighboring orchards and even, up to distances 5 miles away. So this thing can move quite a bit. The numbers that we'll post online and in my, very simplistic simulation didn't take into account immigration or moths into the orchard or what mummies in the orchard, even if they're not infested and contributing to your in-house population. The cost, I'll say, of that mummy to you by a potential neighbor's navel orangeworm coming in. Now it's got a place to lay an egg. Guess what? Now that's your worm, and all of the offspring of that worm are now your worms that add to those numbers that I put in the table. So when you say that, sanitation is absolutely important, it really has to be an area-wide approach for everyone to try to get as clean as possible to make the value of the expense work as best for everybody. And different parts of the states have different structures. The Sacramento Valley, the layout and the orchard block sizes and the diversity among different neighboring crops is very different part of the state. And so there may need to be more neighbor, grower, local cooperation in certain parts of the state relative to others that are a little bit larger scale, bigger acreage where obviously the whole area is going to be sanitized, versus here you might have 40 acres and your neighbor might have 40 acres next to you, and I call it their navel orangeworm insectary breeding ground there, if they're not very clean, can absolutely contribute to you. So having that conversation, I think at grower meetings, opening this dialogue, realizing that, we're really all in this this fight against navel orangeworm together, and we're going to have to be to get those numbers down for everybody.
I can imagine that there's a lot of barriers to adoption of sanitation. We see the price of labor going up and up, and you've done some work at the Nickel Soil Lab in Arbuckle on approaches to sanitation and kind of what combinations and practices work best.
With sanitation, the most economical approach obviously is going to be if you can get in with your shaker and get a good clean, you know, sanitation shake on. Typically, we tend to like to follow those after a rain, not a heavy rain, that's going to cause issues with actually getting access because of the orchard floor being too wet, but something that provides a little bit of additional moisture and therefore weight to the nuts, or during fog events. You've had much less fog mornings over the winters in the Sacramento Valley in the last couple of years, and so this has made it difficult. So the drier the nuts are, the more they stick, the less they weigh, harder to get that shake with the shaker. So then what? Take the shaker through, do what we can, and then we got to hire a pulling crew. That's where we start to get kind of expensive, and at what level does this pay? That's where I think maybe knowing where you will get the most bang for your buck in terms of overall mummy density and then infestation pressure. Maybe you hire a crew and they focus on those blocks so that you know at least you're getting your good sanitation there. I was just speaking with someone at yesterday's PCA meeting here in Chico, and just the discussion of, you know, different soil types and almond plantings going in the Sacramento Valley on soil types that once they get wet are much, much, much harder to access to get a shaker in for sanitation. So is there an onus perhaps on industry to develop some additional sanitation technology, essentially, for growers to purchase, for us at UC to test, to adopt? I think there might be some opportunity there to improve that. Seems like every year we have some reason why sanitation didn't go all that well. It was too darn wet, we couldn't get in. It was too darn dry, we couldn't get good shakes. You know, and then you get out, man, and bloom goes, oh my gosh, it's there. You know, you don't want to be shaking, you know, and harming your crop too late into the new year. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, kind of a call out to industry here to potentially help us develop better sanitation methods.
And shifting gears here, there's also a lot of walnut acreage in our area. How important is sanitation to walnuts?
So with walnuts, you know, as you drive around, you kind of see what I see. We don't get a lot of the mummies hanging in the trees. We don't really see that. But certainly we do get plenty of ground nuts, walnut mummies, overwintering, both on the berms and in the rows. A lot of times they get kind of caught up in the berms. In some cases with walnut, there can be significant numbers of those out there that do, because of the weight and the different structure of the canopy, do fall off the tree, but they're still mummies. And, you know, sometimes if a walnut grower decides that second harvest shake isn't going to be economical, those are the situations where you can have a whole lot of leftover nuts out there. Navel orangeworm can absolutely overwinter in walnut at multiple navel orangeworm per individual nut. Even on the ground, walnuts don't break down as much as almonds. So in the Sacramento Valley, it used to be, well, at least get your nuts off the tree, onto the ground. We'll have some winter weather. It'll help break down the nuts. It'll help kill off the navel orangeworm. That can help. We still always recommend cultivating, grinding them up, mowing them, flailing them, just destroying the nuts in some way, no matter the crop. But I think the survival rate in a walnut on the ground can be really, really high for navel orangeworm, because they don't break down even if they're sitting kind of in a wet, moist environment. And we've been tracking a little bit, kind of observationally, anecdotally, what we're seeing with navel orangeworm infestation and reinfestation of those walnut mummies, really from kind of March through the season. And we see significant numbers of those coming out, again, being part now of that we call native population in your walnut orchard, that's just gonna fly around, go back into any mummies or anywhere they really can, any damaged nut, and then they're right there ready to go. They've built a population all season, and as soon as your husks split and your in-season nuts are vulnerable, they're right there ready to take advantage. So main question is, do we have to sanitize all nut crops? Yeah. You know, obviously the pistachio guys know, and pistachios are a challenge. The almond guys hear it all the time, guys and gals. But I think walnuts are not immune. And so the thing with walnuts is oftentimes they are in the ground. So it's just a matter of chopping those things up. But it's really important to blow them into the middles. So what I see a lot is anything that was in the rows got chopped up. Great job. There's a ton kind of in the tree rows or up on the berms that didn't get blown out and chopped up. With walnuts, I've been looking at even into May and June, whether a cultivation or a chopping of drop nuts, whether these are mummies from last year that are still in the orchard environment, or whether these are drop nuts from blight and the first codling moth flight, because those can all host to navel orangeworm and build up an in-house population. So I've started to think, and I'd like to do, you know, at least some kind of trial, nominal trial next year, whether blowing some stuff out into the middles and mowing in June can help drive down a navel orangeworm population in walnuts.
Excellent. No matter the nut crop, and there's certainly parts of the state where we have pistachio next to walnut, next to almonds, sanitation has to be the base of the program if you're going to be successful against navel orangeworm. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Luke.
This has been Growing the Valley, a UCANR podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Phoebe Gordon.
And I'm your other host, Luke Milliron. You can learn more at growingthevalleypodcast.com.
I would like to thank my sister, Muriel Gordon, for kindly providing the theme music to this podcast. ¶¶